Father God, we do praise you. We magnify your name, and we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here in this room and watching us online. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and they will fulfill that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear, that springs forth life on the inside of us, and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, we come not in our own power, we come not in our own ability, but we come in your strength and your power and your might and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you that most of all, for your anointing that's here tonight. And we thank you that if anyone is here in this room or watching us online that is going through any kind of situation, whether it be physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever it might be, we thank you that the anointing of God will minister to them tonight, will touch them tonight, will set them free tonight. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we thank you once again for mom and dad as they're there in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We thank you for great things taking place, many lives being touched, people being saved, people being healed, people being set free. And we thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Actually, I forgot to pray for our youth, and that's on youth camp. But my sister did want me to remind you, they're at youth camp now in Waxahachie, Texas, and we want to pray for them, and we want to pray for safety. We want to pray for good weather. We want to pray that, you know, that God will speak to these youth. I know my dad talks about whenever he got the call to ministry, he was at youth camp. And so it's real important. Also, we do want to thank those of the church that have donated. We have 50 teenagers that got to go to youth camp because of scholarships that they received because of your donations. So right now we have 148 teens and 30 leaders at youth camp. Or actually, I'm not sure if they're there yet. They're on the way there. They'll be there soon. So please remember them in prayer. Like I said, also remember mom and dad and the crusade team. I'm in Cheyenne, Wyoming. They just finished a meeting in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. I believe it was good. I haven't talked to anybody there. So, I saw some pictures on Facebook. Looking like they're having a good time. But, I don't always talk to them when they're on the road. If they want to talk to me, they know how to get a hold of me. They can call, text, or whatever they want to do. They didn't, so it is what it is. All right. Well, praise God. Do want to remind you once again about our podcast that we have each and every week. Yesterday's episode that we dropped, we interviewed our very own Cliff Payton. We call him Cliffy Poo. He's our producer for our podcast. And Cliff holds the record for the longest anyone's gone between first year and second year. I think it was 20 years. And so if you can learn about Cliff's 20-year journey through the wilderness, now you can learn why it took 20 years. And actually, the podcast we release tomorrow is actually going to be the subject I'm preaching on tonight. And so if you want to hear more about that and what other people think about it, you can tune in tomorrow. But it's the subject I'm preaching on tonight because it's been kind of rolling around in my head after I was reading some things on Facebook the other day, a couple weeks ago. And my wife and I basically, I'm just going to tell you without mentioning who it was I've actually read a couple things on Facebook, some things good, some things bad. But anyway, this person was talking about that they have been hurt most in life by people that were supposedly born-again, spirit-filled Christians. In fact, they said that actually it's interesting that that people of the world don't usually hurt them or usually say mean things or rude things or whatever. And him and his wife were talking. And so you know, my wife and I have talked a lot about this kind of subject. You know, how can someone that's supposed to be having Christ on the inside and a Christ-like nature just be hurtful to people? Now, I get it. You know, we all go through stressful times where at the spur of a moment, because something we went through, maybe an argument or some kind of things, that we get out of our godly nature and turn over to our human nature and sometimes say things that we shouldn't. But there are people that just seem to be rude and mean all the time. And they are supposed to be a Christian. And so actually the other day, when I was actually boarding an airplane, it kind of hit me. You know, a lot of Christians, what they do is whenever they come and they get saved, what they're doing is they're getting their boarding pass. All right, what do you mean? They're getting their boarding pass so that one day, soon and very soon, the roll is going to call deep yonder, you're going to be there, you get your boarding pass so you can get on the bus, or, you know, you can make it to heaven. And this is my ritual with my boarding pass. Do you realize when you get a boarding pass, first of all, you go through security, you have to show them your boarding pass. And so once I show them my boarding pass, then I put my boarding pass in my bag because I found out, you know, so I put it in my pocket, I might lose it or I don't want to drop it or whatever. So I put it in my bag and I do not pull it out of my bag until they call my plane and it's ready to be boarded. All right. And I think that's what some of us have done with our Christianity. We get our boarding pass and, hey, we're all set. We're all ready to go. We're waiting for, you know, the boarding call, you know, waiting for that trumpet. Technically, I guess it's going to be a shofar, not a trumpet. Anyway, it is what it is. But we're waiting for, you know, somebody to blow something and for us to go on to heaven. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some Christians, I think that's what they're doing. They're just sitting around waiting. Well, you know, one day we're going to go to heaven. And in fact, I've seen this a lot in the movies, and so I don't know much about it, but I've heard this particular line that happened quite a bit in the movies. People were talking about being Catholic, and I've heard people say, well, are you Catholic? Yeah, I'm Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. I'm not sure what that really means, but I believe that I know a lot of people that they say they're Christians, but they're not practicing Christians. You know, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and basically they got their boarding pass. And, you know, they don't act like they're a Christian. In fact, some people wonder if they're a Christian, and, you know, and so I don't even know how we call ourselves a Christian if we don't act like one. So that brings me to John chapter 15, and that's going to be our text for tonight. John chapter 15, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just because, I don't know. I've just been reading a lot from the New Living Translation. Sometimes it doesn't have the ye's and the thou's and the therefores. And in fact, I was listening to one of my grandfather's messages today, and he was actually reading from the King James, because he always reads from the King James every time that he read that. That's why the Kenneth Hagin Legacy Bible, we talked about these kind of sub things. And they said, you know, because a lot of people wanted a new King James, but we made the King James because it's his legacy Bible. And he always read from the King James. Now, sometimes use other translations, but in that message I was listening to today, he was actually saying, well, you know, we don't say ye and therefore whatever. So he actually modernized the King James whenever he was reading the Bible on this one, you know, thing. But I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because it's new and living. All right. John 15:1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by my message, and I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So we're going to stop right there. First of all, Most of us here in Oklahoma don't know a whole lot about vineyards. All right, you know, maybe if you go to Vineyard Fellowship, maybe you would know about vineyards or whatever. But, you know, I do know that there's a song we used to sing called Abiding in the Vine. Anyone ever sing that song, Abiding in the Vine? Yes, love, joy, peace. You know, he gave the mind. Well, anyway, but, you know, the thing is that Jesus was talking to people who understood vineyards. We probably understand trees more than we do vineyards. And so kind of put it in a tree terminology, you know, Jesus is the trunk of the tree and we're the branches. Now there's a tree over here. Actually, there's a number of trees on campus. One of them's over here back this way. That a lot of the branches are dead. They're not producing any fruit. And we're going to have to cut them off. And because it's not looking very good. And see, the thing about it is we have to have trees on campus because we have to hang Christmas lights in trees. So it's very important to have trees to hang Christmas lights. Because we did talk about just taking the tree down, but if we do, we have no place to hang a Christmas light. You know, and this year is our 40th anniversary, and we're going to have 3 million Christmas lights this year. All right? And so we need to make sure we have trees, you know, to have Christmas lights in. But, you know, the reason that sometimes the branches wither away is because, see, whenever there's a constant communication or a continuous flow from the trunk, then nourishment gets to the branches and everything's okay. And then once the nourishment gets to the branches, you know, there's fruit. It's kind of like your house. Anybody have running water at your house? All right, hopefully most of you raise your hand. If not, you can take a shower at the NRC, I guess, in the morning time. I do know a few students have done that before because they didn't have running water at their house. But you know, most of you have never experienced where you jump in the shower, you get ready in the morning time and turn the water on and nothing comes out. You know, usually there's a constant communication of water running over you, you know, and purifying you, getting you clean. Well, see, what happens is in this situation, you know, the water is in the trunk or in the vine, but somehow it gets cut off. Now, here's the thing. Jesus or God never cuts the flow off. All right? Now, you can cut your own water off at your house. You can do it by a few ways. Number one, you can quit paying your water bill. Eventually, they'll cut it off for you. Number two, you can actually go out to the main thing, and I've done this before, and you can turn this little knob, and there's going to be no water at your house, even though you paid the bill. You cut it off. And see, that's what we do sometimes is we cut off our blessings. We cut off communication with God, you know, and you really are who you hang with. Do you realize that they say that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future? You know, who you hang around is really important. And we need to hang around Jesus more often. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, you know what? Even though, I mean, he knows, disciples don't, but he knows in a few days, he's no longer going to be there physically with them. But that doesn't mean he's not hanging around them. You know, see, here's the thing is we're not physically with Jesus, but Jesus is with us. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of the living God came and dwelt on the inside of us. And so he's with us all the time. And, you know, it's like, you know, having money in the bank and never using it. Now, I know there are some people that they want to save everything that they have. And, you know, and there's some people that want to spend everything that they have. All right, but you realize if you have money in the bank and you have a debit card or a checkbook or you know, some kind of electronic app connected to your banking account, then you can use that money at any point in time, but you can have the money and never use it and actually starve to death. All right, it's one thing to have money, another thing to use that money to feed yourself and to nourish yourself. And that's the same thing. It's one thing to know Jesus, to have him in you, another thing to experience Jesus in your life. Now, we say, if someone's really been with Jesus, usually it's pretty noticeable. So can people notice that you're a Christian? Because if they can't, then that's your issue. If people don't, if people question, hey, are you really a Christian? I know you go to church, but are you really a Christian? Then you probably have a problem. You know, like Houston, we have a problem. And it's not God's problem. God is the same. All right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His nature never changes. His, what he does never changes. But here's the thing. Are you actually abiding in him? Because the next verse says, verse number 5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, I will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So you're not going to produce any fruit if you don't remain in Jesus. All right? You're not going to produce fruit on your own. I don't care if you've ate Fruit Loops for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. And you've been eating Fig Newtons and all kinds of stuff. You can eat all the fruit you want, and that's not going to make you produce fruit. Now, if you eat actual real fruit, it might make you produce other things because there's fiber in fruit, but it's not going to make you produce fruit. All right? You can eat all the seeds you want, and you're not going to grow into a tree. All right? Trust me, I've seen a lot of people eat a lot of sunflower seeds, and I've never seen them turn into a sunflower. My kids were addicted to sunflower seeds, Especially every time they played baseball, they had to go get sunflower seeds before they played. I remember all those times. But they never turned into a sunflower. But they were planting those seeds in their body. Why not? Well, because they weren't watering it, I guess. But Jesus should be our vine. Now, the thing about it is that we should be bearing the same fruit that he bore whenever he walked the earth. Now, when we talk about fruit, we know about what the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those kind of things. That's the kind of fruit that we should be producing. And if we're really hanging around Jesus, if we're really in constant communication with Jesus, we're not going to act mean and rude and cruel. I get it. Sometimes that we do have a situation, a stressful situation that causes us to act like the world, but that should be a temporary insanity thing. All right? You have like a brain fart or whatever. I know I shouldn't say that from the pulpit, but that's okay. I say a lot of things from the pulpit I shouldn't say. It's because, I did a lot of youth ministry and people understand these kind of things in the youth. And you guys never grow up anyway, like Toys R Us kids, never grow up. And so you understand sometimes that stressful situations happen, and sometimes we do let people have a piece of our mind instead of a piece of the mind of Christ. But for the most part, we should experience, the fruit that comes out of us should be the Christian fruit. And, I don't know. I'm probably online too much and read too many things. I just wonder, how are we winning the world arguing with everybody? Because, in fact, I think, really, to be honest with you, that most of the time where there's like arguments going on, it's on my Christian friends' pages and not on my secular friends' pages. If you want to call them secular friends, they might have a boarding pass, but they're not really being Christ-like. But it is amazing, how mean and rude. And so we need to establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we can do nothing without him, then the way we establish a relationship with him is, first of all, we need to communicate with him. And the way we communicate is through our prayer life, but it's not just through our prayer life. Another way that we can learn the nature of the Lord is to read the Word. And, you know, sometimes we don't, you know, if you don't really know somebody, and in fact, if you meet somebody new, well, the way to find out about somebody is to stalk them on Facebook. No, that's not really the way. The way to find out about somebody is spend some time with them. And once you spend some time with them, you'll get to know who they really are. I mean, how many times have we kind of thought that this person was one way because we never met them, but some other people said, you know, well, this guy's, you know, crazy or whatever. But whenever you get to know them, you know, they're completely different than what you thought. You know, because once you spend time with somebody, you know, you get to know them. Now, I have found out that that Jesus said, first of all, if you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son, or seen the Son, you've seen the Father. I mean, you know, the nature of his nature is the same nature of God's nature. So if I'm saying Christ-like, also I could say I'm being God-like. Now, I'm gonna be honest, growing up in the household that I grew up in, and in the upbringing that I grew up, a lot of times it wasn't necessarily my intention always to please God. All right, I mean, it just wasn't. It was more, I mean, you know, as a younger child, it was more my intention to please my parents, but because my parents, you know, had put godly nature in me, by pleasing my parents, I also pleased God. And it realizes that, you know, one of the good things that my parents did is they made me hang out in church. That was a good influence on me. Also, you know, not only that they were a good influence, you know, they would speak to me, they would talk to me, they would get to know me. Now, like I said, I used to do youth ministry, and way back in the 2000s, remember the 2000s, a long time ago, you know, remember you realize that Y2K, remember Y2K, that was end of the world, you know, I've gone through like 18 end of the world experiences, I just want to let you know. I mean, you know, all kinds of end of the world things. And I still survived, you know. But Y2K, you realize that was 21 years ago? 21 years ago was Y2K. It was a big thing. In fact, some people still have food from that experience. So, it might come in handy one day. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, only 20 years old, but, you know, it's, you know. But way back in the 2000s, I think it was like 2005 or so, I was reading some stats. Maybe even before that, somewhere around the early 2000s. And it says the average American father. Now, many people are like, okay, it's cool to be average American father. The average American father spends 1.5 minutes of quality time with their children a day. 1.5 minutes. 1.5 minutes of quality time. What do you mean quality time? That's where they actually communicate with their children without watching TV, reading a newspaper, being online, and, you know, doing all these kind of things where they actually get to know each other. The average American mom spent twice as much time, 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day. Now, here's the thing. If you spend just a couple minutes a day with somebody, you're really not going to probably get to know them. You know, and so I'm thinking, well, if that's what they spend with their earthly father, how much time they spend with their heavenly father? I mean, you know, the deal is that we are who we hang around. You know, we talk about fruit. You realize your children are your fruit. And a lot of times, and I'm not saying that, you know, I get it, you know, kids have their own individual brains or whatever, but, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart, you know, from that. Now, sometimes, I mean, there's some learning time in between, maybe, you know, when you get old. But the thing about it is that as we spend time with our children, we pass on our nature. All right, we pass. I still spend quite a bit of time with my parents when they're in town. I go eat with them quite a number of times during the week. I spend quite a bit of time with each one of my boys. Usually when they don't want to pay for dinner, they always call me. I'm just being honest. Number of times in a week. Normally during the week, I probably eat lunch with Cameron most days during the week. I spend a lot of time with my kids. Now, even though my kids are grown now, that they have their own houses and all those things, I spend a lot of time with my kids, and my kids know me. They know what makes me mad. They know what makes me happy. They know me. All right, I know my parents. In fact, there's many people who actually work at the ministry, and whenever they want to run an idea, they always run it by me first because they know that I can tell them how my parents are going to react to their idea and whether they're going to like it or not going to like it. And even though they don't like it, I also can tell them how they can maybe make them like it, or how they maybe can sell their idea a little more, because I learned parent psychology a long time ago when I was young. It's something that you should learn as a young child, and some people learn it, some people don't. But the more time you spend with your parents, the more that you learn about them. And here's the thing, it's the same way with your Heavenly Father. If you want to have their nature, you got to spend some more time. And, one of the things that we don't spend time in a lot of times is we don't know what the Word says. My grandfather always says, what does the Word say? And in fact, let's continue reading. I want to get to the verse that I want. It goes on to say, "For those who remain in me and I in them, I will produce much fruit." Now notice, Jesus said he's going to produce fruit in you. All right, he's the one that's producing fruit. You're just the one that's producing fruit because you're abiding in the vine. All right, "For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned." So don't be a useless branch Christian, okay? It's got to, Now, you want an example of useless branch Christian? That was Judas. All right, Judas hung around the master a long time. With all the 12, they were all hanging out together, But in the end, he went against his godly nature and made a mistake. All right? Now, I will tell you this. You can be redeemed from your mistakes. All right? But anyway, verse 7 is what I want to get to. It says, "But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." Now notice it says, if you remain in me. It doesn't say if you have a boarding pass. It says, if you remain in me and I remain in you. Well, how does Jesus remain in you? Well, the one way he remains in you is you communicate with him. Secondly, you read what God's word says, because you need to know what the word of God says. It's hard to have something you don't even know what it is. In fact, many of us, we get products all the time and never read the directions. And it is interesting now, in the day and age that we live in with smartphones, sometimes you'll read on Facebook the hack on your phone that you never knew about. And you'll read about something you didn't even know your phone would do. And it does. Now, something that everybody found out during COVID is that, you go to these restaurants and they don't have a menu. But they have this little QR code thing there. And they tell you to put your camera there and you can pull up a menu. A lot of you probably didn't even know that existed. A lot of you probably thought, well, because used to in the olden days, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that was the olden days. According to technology, you actually had to have a QR reader, a special program to read those things. But now you can just put up your camera and you can pull up a code and you can read it. Now, many of you didn't know your phone would do it. In fact, I had to teach my dad, like, every time he goes to a restaurant, to how it worked. And by the time that he learned how to do it, they were giving him real menus again. So it just really, he just didn't listen. But, you know, we have there's a lot of capability you don't even know you have. It's the same way. There's a lot of things that we have as a Christian, but if we don't know what the Bible says, we don't know what we got. You know, the Bible, you know, clearly says, one of the scripture, forget not all his benefits. Well, you got to find out what are your benefits? What are your benefits? Do you know, there are certain benefits if you have certain credit cards. If you buy, if you buy a product with a certain credit card and it's defective and their warranty doesn't cover it, some of these credit cards actually will cover it. Might not have known that. Depends on what kind of credit card you have. Now, there was a benefit that were taken away from a lot of credit cards. Used to, a lot of credit card companies, if you use their credit card to rent a car, then they had an insurance policy on you for that. A lot of the credit cards companies now have recently took that away because I guess too many people crash their rental cars. I don't know. But I mean, you know, the way we find out about benefits is we read the Word. Now, if we don't read the Word, we can't act on the Word. Now, the message I was listening to, my grandfather, he was talking about so many times, especially when he was a pastor, people would come to him and said, "Brother Hagin, would you agree with me concerning, you know, something or, you know, whatever?" And the first thing he would ask him is, "What scripture are you standing on?" And he said the majority of the time, their answer would be, "I don't know." Well, then how can you abide in the Word if you don't even know the Word? You know, the Bible actually says that Jesus was the Word. He is the Word. I know many of you that grew up my generation, you thought that Greece was the Word, but Greece is not the Word. It was a movie, and a Broadway play. Okay, but Jesus is the Word. And the way we find out about, we get scriptures to stand on is we have to read the Word. And so, you know, I know the way my grandfather is. Probably sometimes he probably told him and said, "You go back and find your scripture and then I'll agree with you on that one." You know, maybe he was nice and didn't do that. But he, you know, he always was a stickler for the Word. Now, he did say this in his books. The number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know what the Word of God says. You can't have something you don't know what says. And so it's hard to be abiding in the vine if you don't even know what the Bible says, all right? Anyway, verse number 8, it says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." All right, so do you realize as you produce fruit, as you be a fruitful Christian, you bring joy to God? I mean, that's what the Bible says. Do you realize whenever you, as a parent, as you watch your kids grow up and you see them do things, you know, maybe they buy their first house, or maybe they have, their first child, which is your first grandkid, and brings joy to you. As they're fruitful, as you know, it brings joy to you to know that they're staying in church and believing God. All those things bring joy to you, just like it brings joy to our Heavenly Father when we're actually a practicing Christian, and whenever we actually have a relationship with Jesus and we act like Jesus, because if you've hung around Jesus, you'll act like him. I mean, are you acting like a Christian? One of the things it says is how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. And I like to stop there because there's so many Christians aren't doing good. Man, what do you mean doing good? Well, they're doing nice things. They're being nice. They're not arguing all the time. Anyway, I got 4 minutes. Verse 10, "When you obey my commandments and you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you that these things, so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." So if you be more loving and you remain in the love of God, you're going to be more happy in life. And if you wonder why you're not happy in life, well, start remaining in his love. That's what he says, and we should be more happy. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You know, we should love each other. Now, by loving each other doesn't mean that we need to stab people in the back. I mean, that's not love. Love doesn't go around and stab people in the back. Love is nice. I mean, love is patient, love is kind. You know, and there's nothing that will separate us from God's love. And when we spend time with the Lord, that's what we should do, is be nice, be loving. You know, and how many times are Christians not really that nice? Going on to verse 16, I'm going to skip down because we're running out of time. Says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command, love each other. Now, one way that we know that we're a Christian is because we have love one for another. Now, there's a real big problem, because I've had many people come and tell me they have trouble with their love walk. If you have trouble with your love walk, you have trouble with your Christ walk. God is love. And there's no getting around about it. So you realize that you need to learn to love people, especially your Christian brothers and sisters, because you're going to spend an eternity with them. You know, some of you say, well, I mean, I got to sit on this side of the church because I don't want to be that close to that person, whatever. Well, you're going to spend eternity with them, you know, sooner or later. So they got their boarding pass too. So you know what? We should be a follower of Jesus. And how do we do that? We know we should imitate Jesus. What do you mean by imitate him? Be like Jesus. You know, it kind of goes back to the 90s. Remember the WWJD thing? Well, actually, you should do that. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus should do what you're doing, because if you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, then you should act like the Lord. Now, what do you mean? I'm not calling you the great one. I'm saying that his nature's on the inside of you. Now, Paul talked about it many times, that we need to stir up that gift on the inside of us. We need to put away our mind and renew our mind and act like him. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to just to be nice and to be the, you know, I mean, it's just showing forth God's nature to the world. And I tell you what, we're living in a day and age where this world is hurting. A lot of people in this world are hurting. People have lost loved ones. People have lost their job. People, as you know, people have lost hope in a lot of things. And it's time to, when people lose hope in other things, that they need to hear more about God. And I don't mean to hear about God because you're going to slam it through their face. I mean, you know, just be loving to people. Just be nice. You know, people don't care what you know until they know you care. It's not a statement that I created, by the way, so don't go. If you want to quote me on Facebook, I didn't come up with that statement. You know, but people want you to care. You know, just, we should be a caring person. We should be, you know, people shouldn't have to try to figure out whether you're a Christian or not. They should know when you walk in the room, because if you spent time with Christ, if you hang around Christ all the time, you're going to act like him. You're going to be happy all the time. You're going to be joyful all the time. You're going to be loving all the time, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we produce. And if you're not producing that fruit, guess what? You're going to be cut away. You know, there's a lot of people that are withering away, and it's time to reopen that fellowship between, you know, turn the water on. Turn the water on and change the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you. Father, help us to be the kind of Christian that we should be. Help us to not try to do our own thing, but help us to have a true relationship with you. And Father, we thank you that you'll help us to walk in our love walk. Help us to be and do what we need to do. And Father, we thank you also that each and every day that you'll bring people across our path that we can bless, that we can be a blessing to, and show us that they're the people that are hurting and need somebody to talk to them, Father. Father, we just thank you right now for just being with each and every one of us. And we thank you for everything you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's